All right, 1 Timothy chapter 4, we've turned over into chapter 4, it's page 992 in your black Bibles there. If you're using the Bible provided for you in the chair, it's page 992, and then we'll jump right into it. And what I want to do is go over the vision of life groups, a couple of our purposes for life groups, how they work, and how to sign up. So we'll flow fairly quickly through it, and you'll leave well-informed and hopefully excited to get involved in them. 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, it's page 992 if you're in a hardback black Bible that you found at your feet. Page 992. I'm just going to read the first five verses. Again, this is Paul's instruction to Timothy. And he says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons, through the insincerity of liars whose consciences are seared, who forbid marriage and require abstinence from foods that God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer." Let's pray together. Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, for, Lord, all that's going on here in City View. Lord, all of the dinners, the VBS, Lord, and even those you're sending across the ocean, Lord, just to serve you. Lord, I thank you for all that you're doing. But Lord, we take this moment, Lord, to transition into opening your word, Lord, hearing what your Spirit's saying, Lord, and Lord, just wrestling with, Lord, what you're doing even here at City View, Lord, and where we fit and how that all fits together and what you want to do in our lives as families and individuals. Lord, I pray you make it clear to us, each of us, in this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, 1 Timothy chapter 4, if you remember, a couple of weeks ago, we finished the end of chapter 3 in Paul speaking about the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness, and that he had just laid out some central thoughts in verses of chapter 3, verse 16. There were about six phrases that we pulled apart briefly a few weeks ago. And basically, he's sharing with them about the expanse of the depth of the truth of how to live in such a way that your confession or what you say matches what you do, which seems like such a great divide sometimes. But he's sharing with it the mystery of godliness, not something that is hidden, but something that was once hidden and now revealed to us, how to live a godly life. He turns the corner then in chapter 4. Again, in the original, there's no chapters, there's no numbers. It just flows. It's a letter. So he goes, all of a sudden, he says, after he's sharing with them, here's how you live where your confession matches your words, or your words match your lives match your confession. He goes in to say this. The Spirit clearly says, it clearly states, that in these last days, some people are going to stop believing. They're going to stop believing the Christian teaching. They're going to stop believing the words of Jesus. And they're going to instead obey false teachings inspired by lying, evil demons and dirty spirits. Literally is what that means. So there's going to be a departing. So hey, here's a way to live your life victoriously. And guess what? The Spirit clearly says that some are going to leave the faith. And in pondering on that, and it's interesting how that ties into what we're going to talk about. What did Jesus put in place to thwart the onslaught of this thing that he's teaching, or that he's talking about, this onslaught of the enemy? What did Jesus establish that would serve to push back this full-on assault from the gates of hell? Because he's warned them, he says it's going to happen, but Jesus set something up for us. It's his church. His church, and like we said this morning, it's not these four walls, but this. He set this up, this group, this congregation, to push back and thwart this onslaught of the enemy, that as it has come upon us, because these are the last days. We're not going to take time to unpack all of that. But believe me, I'm just so impressed how Jesus just knows and he provides the solution for us. And not so much just the church, but more specifically, the relationships among his followers. That is what he established, a place where there's relationship with his followers. November marked a new beginning at City View in terms of a ministry here and our ministry formation. Those of you that have kind of tracked with us know you've experienced it. Those of you that are new, you got to hear about that this morning. But in November, we transitioned into a slightly different schedule, and we just believed that it was the right time for that to happen. Emily, do I have to see you ahead of time, or should I wait till the end? I'm just picking on you. Very good. So our vision here at City View, I'll just pick one, because you're right there. You can't even hide. The vision here at City View is to call all people to the glory of God. To call all people to the glory of God, and the glory of God that can transform and does transform lives, not only ours, but those we're calling. And when we say glory, it's not some abstract thing. It is literally an attribute of God. It's who he is. So we're calling people to who he is and also his manifest presence. That's found in many, many ways, worship and our meeting together. So, three parts of our structure are, and many of you know, we have Sunday morning celebrations, which you are now a part of, which are broken into three parts. We have corporate prayer at 8:30 is typically the time. Corporate prayer. We have life stages classes, which you would probably call Sunday school, for children and adults. We call it life stages. We're literally separating folks due to stage of life and development, and where the kids can get age-appropriate instruction and love and care, and families as well, adults. And then we have our 10:30 right now is our family worship time. So a Sunday celebration represents, it encompasses those three things. And those of you that come from 8:30 and stay on, this is not new to you. Some of you that just come at 10:30, you're like, oh, there's prayer? Yeah, there's prayer. Check the website for our summer schedule, by the way. 8:30 prayer, 9:30 is going to be our family worship service. Life stages will take a break until September. They'll kick back up again. So one part of our structure is the Sunday celebration. The second is the Wednesday groups. We do meet here midweek, and we have men's group and women's group. First and third men's, second and fourth women's. Okay, does that make sense? We alternate. So on Wednesday night, there's either a men's group or a women's group. This week is men's group. And men's group and women's group are designed for intergenerational. That's part of it. So it's from ages 13 all the way up to whenever. We don't really have a cutoff. You're welcome however old you are. So intergenerational, you're welcome to come, and it's a time of getting together the young and the old. And then our third piece, which we've been 6 months without, and it's really, we felt it, is life groups. We talked about them way back when, and now they're upon us. So we're excited about that. So, and they all fit together. You can't, City View Church, our congregating, our gathering, isn't just Sunday mornings. Now, if you just come Sunday mornings, you're missing some of it. So some of you might walk out Sunday mornings and feel, well, that just felt like there's something missing. It just wasn't. Well, yeah, it is something missing. Wednesday nights and now life groups. It all works together to build us up, and they're all put together for different reasons, but to work us into a place of building up and sending out. And at this point, Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights have been working for a few months, but life groups will just tremendously help us as a congregation. It's been something like 13 years since we've had a small group structure here, and we've really paid dearly for it. In terms of care and connection, there's been some groups meeting, marriage groups, Frank's group's been going for almost 2 years now, and that'll continue. You'll see that. But why life groups then? Why life groups? Why small groups here at City View? They're not a new idea, that's for sure. And many of us in former lives at other churches, we were involved in small groups. So I ask you to kind of put aside the whether you have a great feeling about them or a bad taste in your mouth from them, set that kind of aside and receive what we believe the vision is for this. The Bible consistently underscores the centrality of relationship in relationships. And City View is only going to flourish and be strong when there's true fellowship. And practically, genuine true fellowship can't happen in a group of 200 or 300. We have aspects of it, but it's the true nature of fellowship just isn't going to happen in a group like this. So as a congregation, it's important for us to have opportunities where we can meet and develop intimate relationships, places where we can know and be known. Okay? So as City View, we're not just going to have small groups. We're not just going to offer life groups. We're going to be literally built with life groups. We'll be built up in small groups. So again, it's not just another program. It's not something like, hey, you know what? Hey, it'd be great if we had life groups. It'd be great if we had small groups. We should do that sometime. From the beginning, it's been part of our design, our three-part structure. It just has taken a little bit longer. This is we just wanted to put it together when it was right and organized, and we felt it was the right time. So this is not just another program. This is foundational to being a church. And I would say any church, not just City View. Okay? It's foundational to being a church. So, all right, life groups at City View Community Church, they're designed and built with four clear goals or purposes. And those are, they're outlined in your notes there, growth, care, fellowship, and gifting. Growth, care, fellowship, gifting. There's four purposes for them. The first one is growth. So how does life groups differ from a Sunday morning should be your question. Well, isn't Sunday morning good enough? Well, here's the difference. Life groups has a clear goal for growth. And that's creating an environment where people can pursue Christ-likeness through application. See, Sunday morning is a great time for preaching and teaching, which is why we have the Sunday school classes, is why we always will open the scriptures and I will teach a certain way. But Sunday mornings, it's inhibitive to application, working it out. Okay? So, we have James 1:22. Don't merely listen to the word and deceive yourselves. See, listening to sermons over and over again may not be a good thing if we're not being changed or acting it out. It can actually serve to deceive us and really mess things up. So do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word and does not do it, it's like a man who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and just forgets everything he's seen. It's ridiculous. Okay, so these are designed around a key word here is application. Not just hearing the word, but being changed by applying it, by doing it. How does this affect me? How is this changing? What needs to change in my life in regards to this truth? So life groups will not be primarily intended to teach. So when you look at your life group list, don't look, oh, that one, that person is boring. Oh, I like that teaching. Oh, that person. Oh, man, I don't sit through him again. I'd listen to him all Sunday morning. He wouldn't shut up. And life group is going to go forever. It's not intended to be that way. Life groups are not intended primarily to teach. Now, there'll be teaching and learning going on, but it's not, these life group leaders are not spending the week preparing a teaching for you. That happened on Sunday morning when you were here and throughout your week. Many of us listen to sermons and read books and we're taking in all kinds of information. So these are designed around application. The discussion times will be around discussion, will be around applying the word. How is this changing my life? And I'll say, Dennis, you said you were going to apply it a certain way this week, and how'd you do? He's like, oh my gosh, I have to answer that. I didn't do anything about it. Well, it's in love, we're asking each other sometimes some uncomfortable questions. For the growth, can't just come Sunday morning and feel like we're okay. And really, I'm reading a book, R.T. Kendall. Some of you may know R.T. Kendall spent 25 years pastoring Westminster Chapel in London. 25 years. He followed G. Campbell Morgan and Martin Lloyd-Jones, some big figures. And one of the things he says, it's not autobiography, he says at the end, he says one of the seven things that he, looking back, he would change is he would practice more of what he preached. Isn't that fascinating? Like, oh, yeah, that's what this is about. It's about growing. It's about applying what we talk about. So life groups, growth. And I have a short clip here that may illustrate that a little bit better.
So much. No, about the same height I've been for the last 15, 20 years. Well, I have gained a little weight. So, growth's good.
All right, now that's not what we're talking about in terms of we're not going to measure people physically. And that was Rich. How I appreciate Rich McClellan, who didn't know he's going to be edited in this morning to provide. If you're wondering, wrestling growth, what do we mean by growth? Well, it's not that way. Hopefully, now there will be food available, so that we may experience some of that. All right, very good. Secondly, care. Creating an environment where people can give and receive care, and that's taken out of 1 Corinthians 12. He's combined the many members, and they're all working together for good. And as a church, as City View all speak, we've been weak in this. We haven't had people feel fragmented, and there hasn't been an opportunity and a platform to people really to connect, to care for one another. When we had life group leader training, one of the things I said is, as leaders, listen, here's how you view success in your group, is when you look out and they're caring for each other. People are loving, they're calling, they're checking on, they're expressing care for one another. Okay, so it's not all the life group leaders doing everything, but they're facilitating care, okay? So the New Testament teaching in the life is inescapably corporate. You know, most of the New Testament was written to congregations or corporate people to work it out. So in this sentence, we have growth and we have care. Give and receive care. That's not going there, oh, I hope somebody's going to notice me and care for me. It's giving, too. It's giving and receiving care. We will grow in doing that, okay? And we have a clip for that. Deep thoughts from Rich. He obviously needs life groups. He's lost in it there. So yeah, what does it even mean? I don't know. Some of us really haven't experienced true care yet. We haven't given it and we haven't received it. Being a part of a group, we'll get it. We will get that. And as a pastor, I'm thrilled with that. Okay. Third, fellowship, which is what life groups will create an environment where people will fellowship together, meaning they'll participate together, about things that they hold in common. Now, what we mean by fellowship is not having a bowl of popcorn and talking about the game, or talking about this, or even your kids, or there's something much deeper available for Christians. See, fellowship is such a weird word. It's like, well, fellowship. It's a Christian word. Like, I would make case for this if we had time, that unbelievers cannot have true fellowship. It's impossible for them. It is only through the Spirit that we can relate to one another at a level that is so rich. Many of us have never experienced it because it does take a commitment and it takes a risk and a trust. True fellowship. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship. That doesn't mean they were just getting together to eat. That's why this fifth Sunday dinner isn't really fellowship. It can be. It can lead us there, but it's not necessarily the definition. That's not what we mean by fellowship. Just it provides a place for us to sit around and shoot the breeze. You know, unbelievers can talk about the game or their kids. There's something that we hold so deeply in common, and we all struggle with it. In looking at this and unfolding this, I'm like, God, this is challenging for me. I don't know that I live in this realm. So fellowship. There is a deeper level of communing available to us. And that's one of our goals and one of our purposes for life groups. So, and we have a video for them.
Fellowship? Let me tell you about fellowship. Fellowship. Think of a reality television show where we get a bunch of guys, fellows, we put them on a ship. Every week, one of them gets kicked off. They got to walk the plank. And at the end, there's one guy left. Tap!
We may still do that, but that's not what we're talking about. All right, Steve, Matt, Evan, we're all in, man. We're the fellows and walking the plank. Rich was really proud of that, and I had to show it. These are clips from a video he and I made back in February when we did the training for the leadership thing. So I conveniently spliced my part out and put him in because he was he's my brother. That's our thing. He's my kid brother, and he doesn't get it. He's clueless. I kind of am too, but I don't want to show that. I'm sure it'll pop up now, though. All right. So fellowship. And then thirdly is gifting. So creating life groups will create an environment where people can be released, encouraged, build up, and serve according to the giftings of the Holy Spirit. And 1 Corinthians 12 is a great treatment of this. 1 Corinthians 12 is all about showing the Spirit. And I'm quoting verse 7. It says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit. Manifestation is visible. It's out external. But the Spirit's inside. So it's coming. There's a manifestation to each is given. Each of us is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Not for the exaltation of your name or your fame, but for the common good. So life groups, not only is gift, care, fellowship, gifting, it's about stirring up and releasing the gifts that are already resident. We just need maybe stretched a little bit, encouraged in it, and given a place to share. Where each member is able to serve, to glorify God in their unique gifting that's been imparted by the Holy Spirit. See? Because apart from His presence, what's the point in even meeting? Okay, so life groups will have an openness, a spontaneousness to it, a spontaneous feeling, where there will be a room for the exercise of gifts. As a matter of fact, that'll be one of the things that's encouraged and talked about. Okay? Yes. See, because that's just not practical in a setting like this. There'll be a few, and God does speak and move in these ways. And in this kind of a setting, but it's just impractical for each of us. We'll be here till tomorrow. All right, Jeannie, what's your manifestation? It's just not going to be practical that way. But in a small group, in a group of 10 to 15, 16, absolutely. And the leaders are trained and ready to roll with that. Okay? The role of members of a life group in this way would be to come communing, already being in communion with God, communing with God, and then come expecting and communing. Okay, expect God to meet you there and meet others. Okay, all right. I don't have a video for gifting. I mean, we do, but it was a little long. We'll maybe have an afternoon showing of the movie. But what does a life group look like? What's a life group look like? Well, they're in homes. They're not in the church, in the building of the church. They're in homes, which is the church as well. But they're in homes. It's a relaxed atmosphere. Child care. Children are welcome at these life groups. Child care will be handled by each individual group. So if you have to just talk to your leader in terms of how that is. But what I'm saying is don't worry about paying a babysitter, having to go and incur expense to come to a group, or to have them bouncing on your hip the whole time either, okay? The men's and women's groups are intergenerational, where we have teenagers, those in their teens attending with parent or with mom or dad, which may thrill them to do that. Uh-huh. But it can be prohibitive in some ways in terms of sharing both on the part of the teen and the parent, at least initially here, until it becomes part of our culture. life groups will provide an atmosphere where parents, there's just going to be a level of maturity that needs to be there around a life group. So they'll be probably about an age of about 18 until you can be a part of a life group. Okay? But there'll be areas in the homes, the host homes are designed around having children, like in a basement play area or a rec room or something of that nature. So children will be coming with you, they just won't be around the room with you. Does that make sense? Okay? And those arrangements will be made by the leaders, and some might have a couple rotate every other week that they meet, or maybe a youth would come. The youth will have their own life group on Fridays, but those of you that are meeting other days, you can grab a youth. Maybe they can help you out and pay them, take care of them. Okay? So children are welcome. Worship will be handled individually in these groups, however you want to. If you are musical, you may want to just kind of talk to the leader that you sign up and say, hey, I'd be willing to lead a song, or, you know, whatever worship looks like in your group. It will be different in different places. Okay? Discussion will be a part of these life groups. Discussion based around application. Based around the application of principles and truth and for growth, care, fellowship, and gifting. Okay? So it won't be coming to a teaching necessarily. Now, as these groups go, there's freedom within these groups. There's not a big, all the groups are forced to do exactly the same thing. Principally, they are. Materially, they may change. You know, I know Frank's groups are meeting for 2 years. They're working through a book that the group like to work through and from a discussion and setting. So his group may be a little different than mine might be at the outset. So talk to your leaders about how that'll flow. Okay? There will be prayer and ministry involved in these groups. I'm sure there'll be times when you show up and you need something. You need a touch from God. And they're there to minister. And that's just part of the way they're designed. Okay? Where we have prayer at the end of the service on Sundays. You know, you will never leave City View without getting prayer if you need it. If you do, it's your own fault because you just left. We will have folks here to pray with you, and life groups will be, that'll be one of the bedrocks there of care and just people gathering and praying. Okay? They meet every other week, twice a month, for about 2 hours. Okay? Again, your leaders will, you know, if you're at a host home that doesn't mind you hanging out afterwards and you want to just hang out. But maybe the host has kids, they need to get to bed, just they'll work that all out, okay? So we'll say about 2 hours for the meetings. So that's 2 hours twice a month. So I'm not accepting excuses that we're too busy. We're asking you to meet with believers, to grow, to care for one another, have fellowship in gifting for 2 hours twice a month. If that seems crazy to you, that should be an indication of how far we've strayed from biblical Christianity. And I've faced this my own time. Why are we going to fit that in? Wait a minute. Wow. So I wrestle with that, okay? These things are designed to not be like, oh, I'll go to life group. I don't want to go Sunday. Sunday's not that's not me. I'm more this way. That's not the way this is designed. If you do that, you're going to be handicapped. You're going to be kind of imbalanced, okay? So the Wednesday nights, the Sunday mornings, the life groups, they all work together, okay? And visitors are welcome. Visitors are welcome. An attender doesn't have to be a member of this church. The leaders will use discretion, though. If there's distraction, there's issues, it's not conducive to meeting, the leaders will handle that with you. If you're bringing somebody that's questionable or, okay. So, but anyway, these groups are open, though. We're not closing them. Okay. Again, each leader knows the limits and how to handle that. Okay. Just in case that comes up. So if you have a neighbor that won't necessarily walk into a church, but they'll come next door for some fellowship and listening to fellow Christians talk about the Bible and how it's changing their lives, like, what's wrong with that? Now, if they're antagonistic and, you know, that's just not helpful. Okay. Group hopping. great. I have something that I can go to a group every night of the week now. That's great. Some of you that have a lot of free time, you could do that. Well, I'm going to strongly discourage you from doing that. Okay? If you have that kind of time, we've got some other things for you to do here. And go to a good life group, but then we have some other volunteer opportunities at the church that I think Rich would be glad to help you with, okay, or to help you along in. So I'm going to discourage you from hopping groups. Well, what if I don't like my group and I want to go to another group, or I hear God moving in this group, but he's dead in my group? Don't come to me with that. I don't want to hear that. We'll have a long discussion. Pray. I mean, one of the driving things is going to be your schedule. When I'm available. Well, okay. But if you're not sure, ask God where he'd have you. Okay? And plant yourself and serve them. These groups aren't just for you. They're for others as well. It's giving and receiving care. Okay? So if there is issues and they will come up, it's part of the many members coming together. There will be rubs and things, and the leaders know they're going to be involved. That's why they're leaders. They'll be involved in that if they notice there's issues or sparks between certain people, whatever. They will step in to work it through, and if it can't be worked out, they can make changes and that kind of thing. So what if I show up and I can't stand that person? Well, maybe that's why you're sitting in the house together. First of all, what does God want to do there? Okay. This is the beauty of gathering and not, well, I want to pick the people with the same interests, and it's not always bad, but God, holy cow, talk about growth. Get around people that aren't naturally, you don't naturally gravitate to, and you'll grow. or you'll die. those are your options. Sound good? All right, somebody needs to go get Matt Forey real quick. Does anybody know Matt Forey? Okay, one person. All right, Matt and Danae, I think, are serving in the nursery. What I want to do briefly is introduce the leaders to you. There's a long list of names. They're not going to share their testimony or the life story. We'll let that for the group, but I do want to recognize them. Oh, my goodness, that was quick. All right, first of all, Kirby Charity Charleston, why don't you guys just stand? They're going to be meeting the first and third Fridays. First and third Fridays. And their address is there, and you can Google or MapQuest that thing, and email and phone numbers there as well. Friday night, first and third. Benjamin and Ruth, and they'll be meeting at their house. Benjamin and Ruth, they'll be meeting at the McClellans, first and third Fridays. Yay. Steve and Linda Fox, right up front here. Steve and Linda will be leading at Scott and Manine Inner's house, and their address is there off of Queen Street. Second and fourth Friday, 7 to 9. Matt and Danae Forey. Matt, yeah, Matt and Danae, there they are. They're going to be meeting at the house of Matt and Danae, second and fourth Friday as well. Friday seemed to be a popular night. Hopefully that seems true congregation-wide, because we have four groups, two on alternating weeks. Okay. Dave and Karen Lose, there they are. Dave and Karen Lose will be meeting at the Carrington's house, which are Wave, Dennis, and Sandra Carrington, at their house, second and fourth Thursday, and I'm reading to you. You can read here. Mike and Mel Delt, there they are. Mike and Mel meeting second and fourth Mondays. Second and fourth Mondays, 7 to 9, and their address is there up in the Dover area. And, of course, then Steve and Christy, where are they at? There we are. Okay. Yeah. We're going to be meeting the first and third Sunday from 2 to 4 in the afternoon. That's our address there as well. Youth life group meeting at Joe and Cindy. Go ahead, Joe and Cindy Myers. Yes, that is Noah himself here.
Some people question why the hours are longer. We have a lot of projects to get done.
No, I know. I did that. I didn't even ask them. Yeah, the longer time is for drop off and pick up, guys. Okay, yeah, and there'll be some extra things you can get done. It's a whole hour. Yeah, it's a whole hour. You can do that. So 6:30 to 9:30 on Fridays. Now, that's the second and fourth. And so if you have young people, you can drop them off and pick them up. And there's always stuff to do at the Myers house, right? Very good. Very good. All right, so the leaders' roles will be to really extend pastoral ministry, provide context for that growth, care, fellowship, and gifting. That's what they're doing. And they will be your go-to people, okay, in terms of any questions or anything. Okay. All right, how do signups work? You have the schedule and the location right in your hands. It's also on the internet. It's on our website under the Life Groups link. If you want a review of the purposes, they're all under the Life Group link, and it's all there. You can. All of these leaders have clipboards with them right now. Okay. Now these groups are limited in size. Like we all like Kirby, and I know we all want to be in Kirby's group, but you can't be because they only have room for so many. I mean, you could fit a lot in your house, but we're going to limit it. Okay. So that they are evenly spread and we don't create a big group in you get the point, okay? So when you look at that sign-up sheet, only has so many lines on it, okay? So Steve and Christy Kurtz, we sign up on one line. My whole family goes on a line. Don't put a different name on every line, okay? Because you'll say, well, there's only 8 people? No, okay? All right, so the sign-ups will be first come, first serve for these groups. And that's how they work. They'll be available in the lobby, although right now I'm trying to figure out how we're going to pray at the end if all of our leaders are out there. We'll work it out. All right, so they'll be available. Their phone numbers, they've graciously provided phone numbers, email addresses are all in there, except for Dave and Karen Loos. They gave me a false one so they would all get bounced back to you. But I'm going to fix it right now. Somebody spelled it wrong. It's Dave and Karen right in the middle of your handout. It's Dave and Karen 2, because there's 2 of them, I guess. 2 of you. Dave and Karen 2. If you said that Dave and Karen, it's going to get rejected, and then you're going to feel rejected, and this is not going to go well. Dave and Karen 2. All right? Dave, sneaky Dave. Yeah. So their email addresses are there as well. Very good. Very good, very good, very good. All right. Like I said, Sunday mornings are great times for preaching, teaching, having corporate times together, but the application of the word, working it out, fellowship, real care, that's what these groups will provide for us, which are foundational to being a church, a community of believers. Make sense? Make sense? Sean's over there. He's such a good kid. All right, let's stand. Let's stand. Paul warns us in Timothy that there is going to be falling away. There's going to be those that go after lying spirits, unknowingly, for sure. I believe one of the safeguards that Jesus himself has provided for us is the church, is relationships, and specifically in small groups. So we don't have to be fearful, we just have to be in relationship. Okay? So I pray that we as a church would be a people that walk in the integrity of the word and in the fullness of his spirit. The integrity of the word and the fullness of spirit. As we move forward in this. Amen. If you have questions, you can check with me afterwards. Crossword people over here. Yeah. Hands. Oh, my word. Hey, everybody sit down. Did I go right over you guys? All right, everybody sit down quick. I'm sorry. That was such a spiritual moment there. And where in the world? I went right over you. I know. Frank's got it out for me. Frank and Maria Licata, I even referred to you. Frank and Maria Licata, they're also meeting Tuesday nights, which they have been for a long time, out in the West York, Spring Grove area. Because they're an existing group, we may have some differences in children. They may not have children at their group and all of that. So we'll talk more about that if you check with them. If you have children and you want to go to that group, we'll see about arrangements. But just because of the way they're structured and they're already in the middle of it, plus you aren't going to have as many people sign up because you already have people in the group. All right, we can stand up now. That was, I thank you guys so much. Oh, my word. Amen. Amen. All right. All right, let's pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for providing, Lord, a context, Lord, for growth, care, fellowship, Lord, releasing of gifts and ministry. Lord, I just pray over these life groups now. I pray life over the life groups. And Lord, over the leaders, Lord, that you would just lead the right people to the right groups, Lord, and you would orchestrate it, Father. And I thank you for the growth in the connections in this place ahead of time. Lord, I just thank you. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, the one that leads us into, Lord, true fellowship and true care. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be all over this thing and bless us and bless this time as we go, Father. I just thank you. We just can't thank you enough, Lord, for your presence and your leadership and your guidance in this place. Hallelujah. Amen.